Certainly appreciate Brother David's wonderful prayer, and it's a great blessing to be here again this morning. And if you want to turn with me, we'll be in Daniel chapter 9. Sarah and I had the opportunity to spend a couple of quick days with her mother and father the last couple of days, and they wanted me to be sure and send their love to you all. And they have wonderful memories of coming here and worshiping with us here at McClenny Church, and it made a big impact on them. And both my mother-in-law and father-in-law said, be sure to send everybody our love. So as they said that, I couldn't help but think, you know, your attendance here is important. It matters. It makes a difference in the lives of others. So if you ever doubt whether or not you should get up and come to worship on Sunday morning, you never know how you may impact someone that's hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Your mere presence here is a blessing. Your words of encouragement, your greetings and all, they're wonderful blessings. So I did my job for my in-laws now. So Daniel chapter 9, if you want to turn with me there, I want to continue our study, our look at the book of Daniel. And we have been going through this book over the past few months now. And what a wonderful word of encouragement it is as we dive into the book of Daniel. And we're going to have the same thing in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to have this wonderful example for us as God's people, these wonderful promises of liberty and blessing for God's people. And what I like about Daniel chapter 9 is that we see the sovereignty of God. We see God's will be done, and even in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of the sins that we commit, they're not going to thwart the purpose of God. Satan's machinations, his devices that he would use against God's people, they're ultimately going to be failures because God's will be done. And I couldn't help but think, you know, tomorrow we celebrate Independence Day, and we have definitely been blessed as a nation to enjoy great freedom and great liberty. But what we're going to see here in the life of Daniel and in Daniel chapter 9, I think we're going to see the ultimate liberty. And I couldn't help but think about Galatians chapter 5 when we think about what was going on in Daniel's life and what should be an encouragement to us when we think about liberty is the Word of God teaches us that we're to stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. And in fact, the Apostle Paul would say for us as God's people, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So as children of God, we have liberty that transcends the natural freedoms that we have in this world. And I believe Daniel, even in the midst of captivity, Daniel enjoyed a liberty that transcended any freedom that the Babylonians had during the reign of the Babylonian Empire. And now in Daniel chapter 9, the freedoms, whatever those freedoms were in the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel's liberty was in God. And we're going to have in Daniel chapter 9, there's some wonderful things in this chapter. A lot of times people focus on the last few chapters of Daniel chapter 9. But there's great stuff in the other verses that I think personally are probably more applicable to us as God's people practically. But we're going to have liberty. We're going to have liberty as far as the nation of Israel that had been carried away into captivity. They're going to have liberty from the bondage of their captors in the not too distant future from this time. But we have this, as Daniel prays, he's going to have revealed unto him the greatest liberty of all that's going to come when the Messiah comes into the world and lays down his life for the sins of the people. And that's ultimate liberty. And we enjoy ultimate liberty and liberty that even Daniel didn't enjoy because we're on this side of the cross. Jesus has come. He has lived the sinless life. He has paid our sin debt. He paid the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. He ascended unto the Father. We have great liberty in spite how we might feel in the natural sense today. We have liberty from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of this corrupt flesh that would have preeminence over everything else. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. So what a wonderful blessing we have. But in Daniel chapter 9, we're going to look at the latter part for just a couple of minutes. But I want us to look at the earlier parts of the book of Daniel here in chapter 9. And we're going to see a wonderful blessing, a wonderful application for us. And as I've read and studied, probably one of the most wonderful prayers that for us as God's people that we ought to be praying as strangers and pilgrims in a strange land, as we, dare I be so bold, suffer the consequences of our actions as a nation and suffer here in this life. Daniel gives us a good example of how we're to pray as God's people. But in Daniel chapter 9, we have in verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realms of the Chaldeans." It says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolations in Jerusalem." First of all, I want you to understand that Daniel was a man that read his Bible. Daniel was a man that read Scripture. We left Daniel in chapter 8, and Daniel had fainted because of the vision that had been revealed unto him. You'll remember that in that vision we have nations falling and nations rising up and other peoples from the nations that after the death of rulers come and it impacted the history of the nation of Israel. Daniel had all of this in this vision, and we left Daniel in really a sad state of affairs. He fainted because of all of this news that came to him. But we also noted that Daniel, after certain days, he got up and he again went about the king's business. Well, as we get into chapter 9, we're probably a couple years past Daniel chapter 8. Now remember, Daniel is an old man at this time, probably well up into his 60s. And the next word that we have here of Daniel is he was studying Scripture. He was studying God's Word. And in studying God's word, Daniel understood that God was going to bless the nation of Israel. God was going to bless his people with liberty. He read the book of Jeremiah and understood from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 25 that God was judging his people, but God was going to be merciful. God was going to bless them. And Daniel saw that soon the captivity of his people, soon the captivity of Israel was going to be over. My friends, we should study God's word. Why do we study God's word? Because as we study God's word today, we know that soon the captivity of his people shall be over in this world. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about in the climate that we live in today? So much negativity, so much bad news. We understand again, ultimately, that this world of bondage is soon going to go away. How soon is it going to be? Well, sooner than it was yesterday. The Lord has promised us that. So Daniel read God's word. I can't encourage you enough. Read God's word. It's an encouragement. Turn off Facebook. Turn off Instagram. Turn off the reels and open up God's word and get some encouragement about what tomorrow holds for us as God's people. Daniel, he had this vision revealed unto him. He was discouraged. It was weighing heavy on him. He opened up God's word. He opened up Jeremiah, and that had to be an encouragement to him. He opened up the scroll, and the scroll says that my current situation isn't going to be the way things are always going to be for our people. Liberty was coming. And then we see, as Daniel goes on, not only does he read Scripture, not only does he read the Word of God, but he prays. And this is something, again, as far as application for us, this is very applicable for us in the here and now. What did Daniel do as he read God's word? Well, he went and set his face, it says in verse 3, to the Lord God, and he said to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel's response to the glorious truth of God's word was to go and to pray unto God, to lift up his voice in prayer unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's an example for us as well. Some people question prayer. They say, well, why do we pray? What's the importance? What's the impact of prayer if God's word is sure? God's word was sure with Daniel. Jeremiah chapter 25 was sure, but what did Daniel do? Daniel prayed unto God. You know, we understand God's word, sure. We understand that God is sovereign. We understand that the promises of God are sure, but we also understand we have the commandment and multiple examples of praying. You say, does praying impact what God's going to do? God's will be done, but it impacts us. And it impacts our clarity. And God, in His infinite power and wisdom, hears our prayers and answers them. Well, explain that, Brother Michael. We serve a sovereign, great God whose intelligence, whose ways are far beyond my comprehension, but we pray. So Daniel prayed one of the most amazing prayers that a nation should pray, a nation in distress, a nation in captivity. Here's Daniel's prayer. Daniel trusted in God. Daniel, over and over again, we've seen, has said that God is the one that raises up nations and brings them down, raises up kings and brings them down. Here's Daniel's prayer. And I'm just going to read this. We're not going to comment a lot because I just want you to notice how Daniel prayed. He says in verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeper of the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgment. Daniel, understanding what God was about to do, what did Daniel do? Daniel confessed his sins and the sins of his people. My friends, when we are confronted with the awesome truth of God's word, it ought to drive us to our knees. It ought to bring us to a place of humility. Daniel saw himself, saw his nation for who they were, and they said, we have sinned. And then he says in verse 6, he says, we hadn't listened to you either, God. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all of the people of the land. He says, we've listened. We haven't listened. You sent prophet after prophet after prophet to warn us, to give us your word, and we haven't listened. So he confesses. He confesses his faults. He confesses the faults of Israel. And now he goes on and extols the righteousness of God. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and to that are afar off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. Daniel says, Lord, you're the one that's all righteous and we have trespassed your commandments. We have transgressed your law. You know, we live in a time today where everybody's concerned about what they think that they deserve or what they think that they should do. But Daniel's prayer was, Lord, we've transgressed your standard. We've transgressed your standard. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. In his prayer, Daniel is again showing that he understands Scripture. He goes back to the law of Moses. He says, God, these transgressions, you gave us laws and gave us instruction on how not to transgress your law, but we haven't heard your voice. We haven't obeyed your voice, and the curse that's poured upon us right now. Basically, he's saying here, we deserve all that we're getting. What a prayer of confession. Have you ever just thought about that life in that lens? And certainly we suffer consequences in the general sense because we live in a sin-cursed earth. And reality is sometimes we suffer consequences because of the sinful actions of others. But we need to understand the truth. A lot of times we suffer because of the decisions that we make to transgress God's law. And I believe that happens on an individual basis. I believe that happens on a national basis as God's people turn away from Him. Now, I understand that there's a difference between Israel of old and now, but as a people, as those that are God's here in this nation, we need to understand there's consequences when we depart from Him. But I want you to see that He is indeed a God of mercy. And he continues, Daniel continues to speak about this, the law of Moses and their transgression. Fast forward, we go to verse 14, and it says this, "Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth, for we obeyed not His voice." I want us just to think about that. How much better off would we be? How much more of a realistic view of God and ourselves would we have if we would just make that acknowledgement right here that Daniel makes in this prayer here? We've not obeyed your voice. It's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of acknowledgement, acknowledging the sins of the people. But I'm so thankful this is also a prayer that extols the righteous God, the good God that we serve. Verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly." Verse 16, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake." He says here, we have messed it all up, but God, in your mercy, bless us. God, in your mercy, shine your face upon us. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, and defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. What an incredible prayer that is. A prayer of confession. A prayer of acknowledgement. A prayer beseeching God for mercy upon his people. Daniel prays, Lord, hear this prayer. That is a prayer that we all need to pray as God's people. And Daniel had an understanding of what God had promised. But Daniel was driven to the point of humbleness, driven to the point of humility. He understood that God was sovereign, but he was moved to a place to cry out unto God for mercy and forgiveness. As God's people today, we hopefully have some understanding of the sovereignty of God. We have some understanding of the promises of God, that sin has been conquered on the cross, that we need not fear death as God's people, that this world isn't our home, but should we not pray unto the one who has all power to bless us and to strengthen us in our journey and to be with us? And this is what's wonderful here. And if someone says, well, prayer is just, you know, we pray, but prayer really doesn't have any kind of effect on things. Or prayers are just some rote thing that we do. And sometimes folks have prayers that are just rote things, rote habits that they do in their lives. And we, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We're going to see that God hears prayer. And there ain't no delay when God hears prayers. Verse 20, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." In Daniel's evening prayers, he prayed, and we see here again this angel, this messenger of God, he comes, and it says that he flies swiftly and touched Daniel. I want you to understand, when we lift up our voices in prayer to God, we're never put on hold. We don't get a busy signal. I'm old enough to remember a busy signal. I was talking to my grandmother. She can remember, she was talking about the other day, the party line. You know, we don't call God and get interrupted by other people's prayers to God. He doesn't get them mixed up. You know, we don't go to voicemail. That's what happens today. Everybody has cell phones, and you call somebody and you go right to voicemail. And they may or may not ever call you back. But God, He hears our prayers. And in this case, He hears and responds quickly. You know, God may not send the angel Gabriel to tap you on the shoulder, but He hears your prayers, and there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer or a prayer that just gets lost in cyberspace or lost in the air. The angel comes, and Daniel, we see here, Daniel gets an answer to his prayer. And here, I think what we have here in verse 22, I highlighted this some time ago, is that we really get one of the great benefits of prayer. The angel comes. What an incredible thing that must have been. While he's praying in the evening, the angel taps, I just picture him maybe tapping him on the shoulder or something. You know, that had to be quite an experience, but the angel tapped him. Verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Could it not be that prayer is an opportunity for us as God's people who trust in God's Word, who hopefully read in God's Word, who hopefully embrace in God's Word? Is not prayer praying unto the God that saved us, praying unto the God that's ruler over all, is not one of the great blessings of prayer and a gaining of skill and understanding and God's Word and what His will is? We need to pray unto God because He's the one that will enlighten us on His truths and His Word. You know, by the Spirit of God, we're able to discern spiritual things. But how many times in prayer have you, maybe you've not probably not been tapped on the shoulder by an angel, but you have been given skill and understanding on whatever that trial is in your life? Sometimes answered prayers aren't necessarily removing the obstacle or taking the problem out of our lives, but a giving of skill and understanding to know how to navigate through the problem that we're going through. But here it is. He says, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. The angel comes, and the angel is going to explain unto Daniel the ultimate liberty, I believe, and that being the coming of the Messiah that's going to not bring away the earthly captivity and earthly bondages away from the nation of Israel, but the Messiah is coming to bring ultimate liberty to all of the family of God, all of God's children. And what do we have? Daniel reading the Word of God, Daniel praying. My friends, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much. With prayer comes skill and understanding. Perhaps many of us are dull in spiritual things in this world or ignorant of spiritual things as God's people because we don't dig into His Word and we don't pray and we miss out on the blessings of skill and understanding. Now, we understand from previous readings in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a man that prayed more than 30 seconds a day. He prayed every morning and every afternoon and every evening. He prayed toward Jerusalem because I believe that he trusted in God, but he was going to be faithful and beseech the God of deliverance to remember him, to remember his people, forgive the sins of his people. And the time of prayer was a time of reminder for Daniel. What a blessing. What an example that is today. As a nation, Lord, help us to confess that we have fallen short in just every imaginable area. Pray and acknowledge, God, you are the one that is all righteousness. And God, you're the one whose mercy we depend upon. you know, bless us. And our Lord is faithful to give us skill and understanding and remind us and give us wisdom in the midst of our difficulties. What a wonderful God we serve. So we have that. I think to us as God's people, those are critical lessons for us, critical examples for us as God's people. Daniel was again praying again about liberty for his people, the nation of Israel. His desire was to see them to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild and once again have the freedom to worship God as a people and as a nation. And Daniel was going to be revealed something far greater than even that. There's something in prayer. Have you ever just prayed unto God for wisdom and understanding, and he gave you just above and beyond what you were even praying or what you even expected? Sometimes my prayers are paltry prayers, but God blesses above and beyond anything that I can imagine. So we have that. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. The angel reminds Daniel that he's one of God's beloved. We need to understand we have access to God because we're one of his beloved. We're one of his children. We're one of his elect. We're one of his people that were chosen in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. And that had to be an encouragement. Daniel, you are greatly beloved. You know, you may feel like a nobody here in this world. You may feel like that you're the least of the least, but child of God, if you're one of his beloved, that's the greatest title, that's the greatest blessing, that's the greatest thing in this world. So he says, therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So here we go. Here's the mystery. Here's the mystique of this chapter. Verse 24, the angel speaking to Daniel. Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. He says, after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. And verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What on earth did the angel tell Daniel here as we get to the latter part of Daniel chapter 9? Well, I've already mentioned it. Daniel, as he's praying unto God, this angel comes unto him, and what we have is this angel informing Daniel of when the Messiah was going to come, the time frame that the Messiah was going to come. Again, Daniel was praying and beseeching on behalf of the nation of Israel, God's people, the nation of Israel. And here in the prayer, again, God blesses above and beyond anything that Daniel could imagine. And God mentions to him the coming of the Messiah. Now, this wasn't the first time that a reference to the Messiah had been made in the Old Testament. We see it over and over again from the book of Genesis. At the very beginnings of the book of Genesis, we read of the one that was going to bruise the serpent's head. That was the Messiah. And we read all of the instructions that God gave Moses pertaining to the nation of Israel, and we see what was to go in the tabernacle and how they were to worship God and the sacrificial system. All of that pointed to the Messiah. In the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, we have pages that are covered with the coming of the Messiah. I think in this prayer and in this blessing, Daniel is once again reminded, and his priorities are shifted upon, again, things far greater than this world. God was going to bless the nation of Israel with liberty, and that will happen historically fairly soon. We're going to see, as prophesied in the book of Isaiah, the Persian king Cyrus is going to allow Israel to go back to Jerusalem, and they're going to rebuild. And we have a portion of the Old Testament that references the rebuilding of Jerusalem, a rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem, and the rebuilding of the temple, and the remnant of God's people being released, celebrating an Independence Day, going back unto Jerusalem. But what we have here, when we read about these 70 times 7, again, we have in symbolic language here the time frame from when Jerusalem was going to be rebuilt to the coming of the Messiah and the work of the Messiah on the cross. Now, I don't want to get in the weeds deep with this because you'll probably forget it, but I want you to see the main point here is that the angel is telling Daniel again that God's word rings true. As the prophet Isaiah spoke of the one that the government was going to be upon his shoulders, Daniel, he's coming. The one that Jeremiah spoke about that was going to be the redeemer of God's people, Daniel, he's coming. And here's the outline. He's coming in the future, and he lays this out. And he's saying here, I believe, to Daniel, Daniel, I'm the one that promised the release of the bondage of Israel back into Jerusalem. I'm the same God that has promised that Messiah is going to come. And he lays this time frame out. Understand these weeks here, is symbolic language, and I think these weeks speak to years, and you can do the math and do the calculation, but you know what? If you don't want to do the math and do the calculation, we go to the book of Matthew, and what happens? The Messiah comes. The one that God promised to come. His son came, and his son lived a sinless, spotless, perfect life, and laid down his life for his people. He says, Daniel, be encouraged in that. You're going to have liberty as a nation, but be encouraged and know that ultimate liberty is coming in the Messiah because he's going to die for the sins of all of God's people. Daniel, your sins are covered. Our sins are covered because of the promise the Messiah came. Here, we're so blessed and fortunate here. We take it for granted. Here, Daniel has this prophecy, the Messiah is coming. Some 400 and, you know, this all of this time goes on here from the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the Messiah comes. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But now we're on the other side of it. Jesus has come. So what promises do we look forward to? Well, we look forward to the promises like Brother David's been speaking in the book of Revelation. The present promises, but the promises that Jesus is coming back again. Not to finish the work of salvation, but to bring his people home. Those that have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my friends, this was a word of encouragement for Daniel and those of his contemporaries during that time. And it's incredible. What do you find as we get to the Gospel of Matthew, these hundreds and hundreds of years after the promises that the angel illuminated to Daniel and gave him skill and understanding on? Well, we see that there were those that were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. There were those, and you know, we oftentimes we look at the Gospels, and I've mentioned it. I mentioned it at home the other day. There were many folks that had a gross misunderstanding of who Jesus was and what his purpose was in the world, but there were those that were waiting and seeking for him. Remember Simeon as he got to hold the babe Jesus, and those others that were there, those wise men. Apparently there were Gentiles that understood Daniel clearly and were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And they were blessed to come and see the Messiah. They understood Scripture and they were awaiting the coming of the Messiah. This had to be an encouragement to Daniel. And we have not terribly long after the time of Daniel and after the time of what we refer to as the minor prophets, you know, what we call a lot of times a spiritual dark ages. But there were those that, you know, you read about as you get towards the end of the Old Testament that God blessed with comfort and understanding, even at going into spiritual darkness. What an encouragement that must have been. That's going to be one of those questions in heaven. I want to hear how people were encouraged during that time. We ultimately know the answer. They knew that God was a God that keeps His promise and Messiah was going to come. This was an encouragement. Now you go home and you Google here Daniel chapter 9. You're going to get a lot of different notions and ideas about the book of Daniel like you will the book of Revelation. One of the popular ideas says that, well, between this 69th week and the 70th week, there's this long period of time, and they attribute it to what's going to happen prior to the Lord's return. Now, I want you to understand what Daniel was speaking about here. It was all fulfilled in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not something that we afar off look forward to. And you can look at charts and graphs. Some of them are interesting to look at, but a lot of it they get correct, but then they just mess it up and the impact and the blessings missed out on. Some of the graphics that you see, you'll have they'll chart out the 69 weeks that's spoken of in Daniel chapter 9. And a lot of them will say, well, these weeks are speaking about years, and they'll gauge it historically. And they'll say, well, from the time that Christ was here in the world and Christ was crucified, there's going to be this period. And I saw one that was literally a graphic of fog and cloud where we are right now. And it's just something afar off that really isn't of any immediate comfort and instruction for us. A lot like Revelation, but it's comfort. It was comfort and instruction for Daniel during his time. And it ought to comfort us to know that the Lord, He did what He set out to do here in this world, and that was to save His people from their sins, to deliver His people. I'm thankful we don't live under a fog. I'm thankful that it's elucidated in God's Word that when Christ came into the world, He laid down His life for the sins of His people, and it says He yielded up the ghost and said, "It is finished." The work of salvation was done. So what does that mean for us now? Well, as God's people, we look forward to things, don't we? We look forward to one particular thing, hopefully, the Lord's return and Him calling us home. However much Daniel was encouraged, and gosh, what an amazing thing this was. What an encouragement this must have been, this 70 weeks. You know, Daniel must have been, thank you, God, for giving me this reminder, blessing me with skill and understanding, and even giving me a framework, a time frame in your word as to when Messiah is going to come. We should be more encouraged because we understand that the next time that the Lord comes is to call His people home. You know, I'm thankful for the freedom and liberty that we enjoy as citizens of this great nation. But what a blessing heaven is going to be when I am free from the bondage of this sinful flesh that I carry about. When we're free from the bondage that comes with living in a sin-cursed earth. When we are free from this old flesh that we drag about, that the Apostle Paul would say is like a body of death that we drag about. I want you to understand that the promises that we have as the New Testament church of the Lord's return and us being in His presence are just as sure they're going to be fulfilled just as surely as Daniel chapter 9 was fulfilled, as Jeremiah chapter 25 was fulfilled. Even more so for us as God's people, it's that time when we go to our heavenly home. Isn't that a blessing to think about? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go to my heavenly home. You know, I'm Lord willing, I'm going to learn more about God through studying His Word. You know, we should encourage ourselves and strive to better serve the God that has saved us. And we're going to pray until He returns. But all of our prayers should be tempered with that beseeching, Lord, even so, Lord, quickly come. As the Apostle Paul would say, Lord, or John would say, Lord, quickly come. Why is that our prayer? Because we have a home beyond this world. We get a taste of freedom and liberty because Paul would say, remember in Galatians chapter 5, that we're to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. Do you understand that this morning? You are no longer dominated by sin in your life. Sometimes we use that as an excuse. We excuse our sinful behavior with the can't help it. Well, I did that because that's just the way that I am. I have heard that enough to last me a lifetime, Brother David. That's just me. I'm just being me. I can't help it. No, my friends, as a child of God that has the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you can't use the can't help it as an excuse. Because you have the Spirit of God that's the great helper that rests and abides in you. And the Bible even says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to understand this. There is liberty in obeying the things of God. The world flips it around and we swallow hook, line, and sinker. The world says there is liberty in doing whatever you want to do. There is liberty in doing what feels good to your flesh. Just the opposite is true. There is bondage in doing those things that our flesh desires and lusts after. It promises liberty, and when we're being realistic, there's pleasure in sin. There's pleasure in doing what I want to do, but it's temporary, and there's consequences that come with it. But I want you to understand, liberty in God's word is, again, understanding and obeying what He has commanded you to do. There's great blessings. There's great rewards, earthly rewards, if you will, in obeying God. Now, we can't earn our heavenly reward. That was paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ our Lord. But there's blessings and obedience. And I tell you, in what forms does liberty come? Well, liberty can come with peace of mind, can it? As we're walking with the Lord and obeying Him, everything around us can be turned upside down. But when God blesses us, And Daniel was no super spiritual follower of God. Daniel enjoyed these blessings. There was calmness. There was steadfastness. There was a peace even in the midst of great upheaval in the life of Daniel. Again, just to bring it back to Daniel chapter 9, this was old man Daniel. Daniel was likely in his late 60s. It's not as old as it used to be, Brother David. Especially for you. but as we go from the Middle Ages to those olden ages, you know, as you've been in the battle and been beat up in the battle and you grow weary in the flesh and weary in physical strength, is it not an encouragement to know that this is not the end? That God is able to bless. God is able to encourage. And this was an encouragement, I believe, that God's people took with them. These servants of God that were captive, soon they were going to go back to their native land. They were going to go back into the land of their nativity. That was indeed an encouragement. But that wasn't the be-all and end-all. Well, what happened when they got back to the native land? Well, they worked and they labored, but they weren't satisfied, were they? It was a shell of what it once was, and there were many of those that wept because of the condition of Jerusalem when they got back. My friends, I want you to understand that when the Lord calls us home, as the Gospels teach us, He and all of His holy angels come with Him, and He separates His sheep from the goats, and we meet Him in the air, and we ascend in glory, we're not going to cry and weep because of the condition of the New Jerusalem. We are going to be satisfied. We're not going to say, man, I thought it was going to be better up here. Man, you know, I had it better when I lived in Florida. We're not going to be that way. We're going to just be in awe. And our focus and our intention is going to be praised on the one. Our focus and praise will be on the one who has delivered us. We'll be satisfied. We're not going to be discontent. We're not going to be weeping because of the condition of heaven when we get there. We're going to be weeping with joy. And I believe we're going to be weeping because we're going to see clearer than we've ever seen before the mercy that has been given us as sinners, as God's children. You know, if anything, we're going to be crying out, I don't deserve this, Father. But he's going to say, come, ye my beloved, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What liberty there will be in the New Jerusalem someday.
Real liberty.